What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. Today, we're with Chicago Sports Network, and we are doing our top 25 predictions, what we expect it to be, what we expect the top 25 to look like after the season. So we're going to go ahead and get started with number 25. So who do you have finishing at 25?
Well, at number 25, I have the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Last year, Nebraska struggled-ish. They could not win tight games. Every single one of their losses was by less than 10 points. The only loss that wasn't a one-possession game was against Ohio State, where it was 26-17. That is the only game out of all they played. Against Illinois, it was 22-30. Against Oklahoma, it was 16-23. Against Michigan State, it was 20-23. Against Michigan, it was 29-32. Against Minnesota, it was 23-30. Against Purdue, it was 23-28. Against Ohio State, like I said, 17-26. Against Wisconsin, 28-35. And against Iowa, 21-28. It is crazy how all those games were basically one possession and Ohio State was 9 points and they still lost them. I think that their luck turns around here, and I think Scott Frost is somewhat on the hot seat. Obviously, they did extend him and they understand that this is not going to be an easy process, and I don't know how much I trust Casey Thompson. But I think that this is a must-win situation, and I think that he's going to start to bring in some of the wins that he had losses last year, like against Northwestern, against North Dakota, against Georgia Southern, and then maybe even get a win, a home game against Oklahoma. That it will be the defining game of the season. And then you have Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue before your second bye week, and then you play Illinois. So that first part of that schedule is where you can get wins. That last part against Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin and Iowa, those last four games are incredibly difficult. So if you're going to get some wins, you have to get them early. That's why I have them at number 25 and not higher, is because I think that they're going to drop with a couple losses at the end of the season. Who do you have at number 25?
What is your final record prediction for Nebraska?
8-4.
Okay. So I have an 8-4 team as well coming in at 25, but I have it. I have Ole Miss coming in at 25. Mm-hmm. I think Lane Kiffin is going to have another good season, not as good as the 10-3 season he had last year. 10-2 in the regular season, only losing at Auburn and at Alabama. I think this will be a good season for the Rebels, but I do think they will take a little bit of a step back. They have a very talented quarterback still in Jackson Dart, and they do return Jonathan Mingo, a solid receiver for him. But I don't think Jackson Dart, at least immediately, is going to perform as well as Matt Corral did last year. I think it will take him some time to get used to the system. And I think it'll be a little bit before he really starts getting to that level, if he ever gets to that level of Matt Corral. I think midseason he could start performing like Corral did. Maybe not quite as good as Corral, but definitely could be a solid quarterback. And I think he'll be a good quarterback for the Rebels. And they have as favorable of a schedule as you can pretty much get in the SEC, I would say. They get Kentucky at home, Alabama at home. They get Mississippi State at home. They do have to go on the road to A&M and LSU. But I don't really know how good LSU and A&M are going to be. They do have to go on the road to Arkansas, which I think is going to be one of the more fun matchups to watch. Considering that Ole Miss won 52-51 against Arkansas last year at home when Arkansas went for two at the very end after scoring on like the final play of the game, I believe it was. A very entertaining game, and I think this year will be as well. But I have Ole Miss coming in at 8-4. I think it'll be a solid season for them, and I think they'll finish 25th.
Okay, so on to number 24 for myself, I have the Cincinnati Bearcats finishing 9-3. I think that Cincinnati has some potential to do well, but they lost a lot. They had, I think, 12 players drafted. That's higher than almost every Power 5 team other than Georgia and Alabama, I'm pretty sure. So they had a lot of players drafted. They lost a lot of high talent. And I think that they'll be good this year, but I think that they're going to knock it off a little bit with a couple of losses here and there.
To tell you specifically which games I think they will lose, I have them losing against UCF, SMU, and Arkansas at the beginning of the season. All three of those games are on the road. Those are not easy games to win, and that's part of the reason why I have them losing those games. So I will have that as my number 24 team in the country. Yeah, so my number 24 team is another 8-4 team in Penn State. I think they're just one of those teams. They always finish ranked somewhere in the 20s. Typically, like I said, typically last year, obviously they went 7-6, but they just feel like a team that is usually ranked in the back 20s, usually going about 8-4, 9-3. And I think they'll go 8-4 this year. They return the quarterback, Sean Clifford. They also return four of their top five receivers. The only one they lose is Jahan Dotson. Now they don't return their starting running back from last year, but they do return their leading rusher and Kayvon Lee. They do lose Noah Kane. He transferred. I forget where I saw that he transferred to. Auburn. Yeah. Auburn. So Auburn will have a pretty good backfield with Noah Kane and Tank Bigsby. But yeah, I think Penn State comes in 8-4. I think they'll lose at Auburn, at Michigan, to Ohio State, and I think they'll drop one at Rutgers as well, maybe at Purdue, but I think it'll be at Rutgers. So I think Penn State's going to have a solid year, kind of get back on the right track after going 7-5 last year, 7-6 when they lost to Arkansas in the bowl game, and get another solid season for James Franklin.
So, heading on to number 23, I have the Wisconsin Badgers finishing 9-3 with losses to Minnesota, Iowa, and Ohio State. Again, all three of those games are tough tests on the road, with most of their competition being on the road. That is going to make it incredibly difficult with only three defensive returning starters, according to Phil Steele. That may be different depending on what site you're looking at. But they do return an incredibly strong backfield, with Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi heading it up. You still have Graham Mertz at quarterback. I don't know what I think of him, but you really can't get much worse than what you were at previously. With last year, him throwing for less than 2,000 yards, less than 60% completion percentage, and one more interception, two touchdowns. So you have a lot of production to repeat and to get back. But Wisconsin, as they always do, will probably just drain the clock out and drain the souls of every other fan watching. And I don't see too many issues other than I think that they will lose to the powerhouses of Ohio State. Obviously, Iowa is not a powerhouse, but beating them at their place is like playing a powerhouse. And Minnesota got the win last year, and I think they'll get it one more time, this time being at Camp Randall.
Yeah, so at number 23 for me, I have Coastal Carolina. I have them going 10-2. I have them losing at Virginia, and I have them losing at Marshall. I think they'll beat App State at home. They only returned four starters on offense and two on defense, but they get the guy back, the only one that really matters, in Grayson McCall. Like I said, I know they lose a lot of pieces, but Grayson McCall is one of those talents that he can just absolutely take over a game. He's a guy that could start at most Power 5 schools. So with Coastal Carolina playing lesser competition in the Sun Belt, I think that he has that ability to just take over a game. His play style is a lot like Johnny Manziel, except he's a more accurate passer than Manziel is, and just as lethal on the run. Their offense was very high-powered last year, finishing first in the Sun Belt and scoring fifth in the nation. Mm-hmm. First in rushing offense in the Sun Belt, sixth in the nation. Second in passing offense in the Sun Belt, 28th in the country. And first in total offense, fifth in the country. So I really like this Coastal Carolina offense. Like I said, they do lose some pieces, but they get some very experienced guys filling in at receiver. They get Sam Pinckney filling in, filling into a starting role. He was a senior. Tyson Mobley, he will be a junior. And then they have Aaron Bedgood. He's also a junior. So they have pretty experienced receivers. Reese White, going to be their starting running back. He's a senior. So, and then Braden Bennett, he's a returning starter. He's a sophomore, so he also has another year under his belt. He ran for 636 yards last year and 7 touchdowns on 74 carries. So I think Coastal Carolina is going to have a solid season, and I think that they are going to beat App State, which will give them the Sun Belt title and put them in to put them in to the rankings ahead of App State.
Speaking of App State, how many years of eligibility does Chase Bryce have? This is like his 17th year in the profession. They're about to give him 20-year working award for being in college.
Yeah, this is this has to be his last year.
This has to be. Like, he's been in college longer than my dad's been alive, it seems like. And my dad's nearing 50. He's not 50, but I'm sure he'll listen to this podcast, and let's just joke that his hairline is off to Mars at this point. I think he beat Elon Musk there. But either way, on to number 22 in my rankings, the Oklahoma Sooners, who are now coached by none other than Brett Venables, Clemson's former defensive coordinator. But more importantly, they're coached on the offensive end, almost probably completely, by Jeff Lebby, the former offensive coordinator for the Ole Miss Rebels. That is a quite interesting combination, as Oklahoma does not play the toughest schedule in the world, but they do have a lot of trap games. Those include Nebraska, Iowa State, Baylor, Oklahoma State, and even at West Virginia and Morgantown is not an easy place to play. So there's a lot of trap games, but I think they end up with a 10-2 record. I have their two losses against Baylor and at Iowa State, but really those could range all the way from Texas to TCU to Kansas State to Nebraska and to the teams I already named previously. This is a team that is led by a quarterback transfer from UCF and Dylan Gabriel, and is probably going to be a quite dynamic offense with probably a little bit of an improved defense on the Brett Venables end. But Brett Venables did not bring a massive amount of his staff with him from Clemson, so I expect there to be some growing pains there as well. So I have them finishing 22nd in the country, just ahead of Wisconsin.
At 22, I have a guy who's been at his school for a while and done a really good job for the school he's at, and that is Kentucky and Mark Stoops. I have him going 9-3 this year. They return Will Levis. I think he's going to have an outstanding year with Kentucky. He had a good year last year as well, threw for about 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns. He needs to drop the picks down from 13. Definitely needs to be under 10, I would imagine, in this SEC. But they returned 5 defensive starters, including all their linebackers and 2 defensive backs. And then on the offense, they do lose a good bit of their their receivers, but they get their running back, Chris Rodriguez, back. And the running game was a big part of their offense last year, finishing 25th in the country in rushing yard and rushing offense, and 5th in the SEC. So a good running offense there, and I think Kentucky's going to have a good year. I have them with the 3 losses. I think they'll lose to Georgia. I think they'll lose to Georgia, at Tennessee, and I think they're also going to lose one at Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss, just early on in the season, is going to be hard, or fifth game of the season, is going to be hard to go in there and win. So I think they'll lose that game to Ole Miss.
So, heading on to my next team, I have the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They are playing with a quite interesting schedule here, because in week 1, they have a pretty interesting game against the Central Michigan, I think it's how you say it, is Chippewas, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But they still have Spencer Sanders back at quarterback, but they do lose a lot of defensive production from last year, and they lose their former defensive coordinator, Jeb Nolan, to Ohio State. So this is probably going to return to more of a authentic Big 12-style team that has a weaker defense and a lot stronger of an offense, is my guess. But that could be proven wrong, and Mike Gundy's ability to reload the defense, we'll see. But I think that they're able to get a win against Oklahoma at Oklahoma, and that is the reason why I have them ahead of them. So I have them finishing at the number 21 spot with an 8-4 record. Who do you have at number 24?
At number 21, I have Fresno State. They return a good bit of their team from last year, and they had a really good year last year as well. They'll be returning, if I can remember his name, the quarterback.
Jake Haner.
They'll return him. He's a really good quarterback for them. And then they also return their receiver, Jalen Cooper, or Cropper, and Josh Kelly as well. And on the defensive side of the ball, they return 7 starters, including basically the entire back half of that defense. And a guy from last year in David Perales, who had 7 sacks. And then they also return Evan Williams, their leading tackler, with 91 tackles. So that's some good production returning. Haner last year threw for 4,000 yards, 33 touchdowns, no picks. Jordan Mims is the returning running back with 710 yards, 6 touchdowns. So I think they're going to have a solid season. Going 10-2, but I think they will drop 2 games, and I think that's at USC and at Boise State early on in the season. I think Boise State's just a tough place to go and play, and they lost to Boise State last year, if I can find it, 40-14 at home. Now, I don't expect it to be that big of a margin this year, but I do expect them to lose that game, and I do think they'll lose at USC as well.
So, heading on to the next team I have, entering into my top 20, at number 20, I have the Houston Cougars finishing 10-2. Houston could be a team that vies for that New Year's Six Bowl spot, but I have another team who I will name later on in my top 10 who I think will get the New Year's Six Bowl spot for the group of 5. I think that Houston is a good team with Clayton Toon at the starting quarterback position. You return quite a bit of production with Tank Dell at the wide receiver spot. You return your top 2 starting running backs, and you return quite a bit of defensive production as well. This is a team to watch out for to really make a jump at that New Year's Six Bowl spot. We'll see as they continue on a path towards a possible big season here. With Clayton Toon, I would be really interested to see if they do go undefeated or they go 11-1, if Clayton Toon is a possible Heisman candidate.
Yeah, Clayton Toon, he's definitely a good quarterback, probably the best in the American this year. But moving on to my number 20 team is Miami Hurricanes. I have them going 9-3. I think Van Dyke is going to have a great year. I think they're going to start off a little bit slow. But I think Cristobal, it'll take him some time to get some changes in. But I think one thing is for sure, the offensive line will be better than it was last year from the very first game. That's something that he specializes in. The offensive line will be good right from the get-go. But I think they're going to drop games at Texas A&M. I think they'll drop one at Virginia. And I think they'll drop one at Clemson the second to last game of the season. But I think those are all definitely when you can make a case that Miami wins all of those games for sure. But I think they'll lose those 3. They also have some other tough games. They get Florida State at home, on the road to Virginia Tech, North Carolina at home. So they don't have the easiest of schedules. But I think that they will finish number 20 and go 9-3.
Heading on to number 19 for me, I have the Oregon Ducks with Dan Lanning as their new head coach. Oregon, I think, is a good team, and they have quite a bit of potential with a big week one matchup against Georgia. That really could swing their season one way or another, and that is going to be important in order to determine their season and how it goes. I think that Oregon has a lot of key pieces. The problem that I have ranking them high is that they did lose a lot of big production from Travis Dye and some pieces on their defense like Vernon McKinney or even Kayvon Thibodeau or the linebacker that I cannot think of the name. Who is their linebacker that was good last year that I cannot think of his name that got drafted?
Gosh, what is his name?
He's not back this year.
No, I know who you're talking about. I just can't think of his name.
He was also out against Ohio State.
Gosh, yes. Who was it? I can't think of his name.
Either way, it really doesn't matter. But I think Oregon will have a good season here, but I do not think they win the Pac-12 North. I think that there's another team that is just a wee bit better, and it is probably not going to make Oregon fans mad when I say or it is probably going to make Oregon fans mad when I say it. So why don't we move on before we get into too much debate over this topic?
So at number 19, I have USC Southern Cal coming in at 9-3. They get a bunch of just really talented players coming in. They get Mario Williams. They get Jordan Addison at receiver. They get Travis Dye at running back. Caleb Williams at quarterback. Now, that defense still is not a very good defense, but I don't think the defense is going to be a stumbling block to them because they are going to have just an explosive, major explosive offense. Now, on defense, they do have Kalen Bullock. He was a freshman All-American. So that he will be a solid safety for them. Damani Jackson could be a solid corner. But, yeah, they don't really return a whole lot on defense. Only three starters. They did get a couple transfers in. But, like I said, I think this offense is going to be so explosive that they'll be able to overcome that. I think this offense is going to be just incredible. And their three losses, I have them losing at Oregon State. I have them losing at Utah and at UCLA. I think those are the three games USC will drop. So yeah, that's who I have at number 19. Now on to number 18. Who's your team?
At number 18, I have the Ole Miss Rebels. So I think that Ole Miss is definitely going to decline a little bit this year, but don't get me wrong. This is still an incredibly talented team. With a lot of potential, but here's the problem. You play in the SEC West, and when you lose your star quarterback, you lose basically all of your rushing production, your receiving production, and a lot of your defensive help, and you only return 5 offensive starters and 7 defensive starters, it's going to be a tough road ahead for you. So I think that you have some production returning, Jonathan Mingo probably being the biggest on offense, but other than that, I think Jackson Dart could be a good pickup and could play well, but you have to see a little bit from him. So I have them going 9-3 with losses to at Arkansas, Alabama, and Texas A&M. So they, like Lincoln said earlier, they barely beat Arkansas, so I think that Arkansas is going to have that revenge in their blood for that, and I think that this is going to be a good season for them. So I think Ole Miss has a good season, but I think they finished 9-3 with a couple of losses here and there.
Yep. Next up, I have another 9-3 team, also from the SEC West, and that is Texas A&M. They have a lot of talent on this team. A lot of it, not very experienced. They have a lot of freshmen and sophomore going to be starting on that defense, but DJ Durkin is a good, defensive coordinator. He had a lot of good defenses at Florida in the early 2010s. And they also returned all 4 of their defensive backs. Tyreek Chappell, Jalen Jones, Demani Richardson, and Antonio Johnson. They returned all 4 of those guys. So I think their secondary will be a good secondary, but I think up front where you have a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, and a sophomore starting, I think on the D-line they're going to struggle a little bit. And on offense, I'm not really sure what to expect. We didn't see a whole lot out of Haynes King last year. 22 of 35, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks out of him. So I don't really know what to expect. But they do have a good running back in Devon Achane. He 130 carries, 910 yards, 9 touchdowns, 7 yards a carry. So good running back there for them. But I think A&M's going to have a good season. I do think they'll lose 3 games against Arkansas, at Alabama, and I think they'll lose at Auburn.
So, heading on to the next team that I have my Big Ten West champion with a little bit of an upset, and that is Minnesota. I have Minnesota going 10-2, and I think that this is the season that PJ Fleck really brings it up. to a whole nother level with Tanner Morgan returning for, I believe, his fifth year as a starter, and Mo Ibrahim as the running back. Obviously, he got injured at the beginning of the Ohio State game, or not at the beginning, but in the third quarter. So I think that you have a lot of potential here with this team. You have your top three wide receivers coming back. You have a lot of production. I think that this is the time to strike. If you're going to be able to do that, it's important to do it right now. And I think that's what they're going to be able to do with the pretty weak non-conference, with games against Colorado, Western Illinois, New Mexico State. Those aren't really tough games. And then you have Purdue, and then you have a bye week, and then you have Illinois and Penn State and Rutgers and Nebraska and Northwestern. Your two hardest games are your two most important games, and those are Iowa and at Wisconsin. You need to win the Iowa game to have any shot at the Big Ten West title, and then you'll have to go from there against Wisconsin. That will probably decide the fate of that title. Who do you have at number 18? Or number 17, I'm sorry.
At number 17, I have Oklahoma State. I think they're going to go 9-3. They had a really good year last year, going 12-2 overall, 8-1 in the Big 12. The only game they lost was at Iowa State, 24-21, and then they lost the championship game to Baylor, 21-16. That was a very entertaining game. Came down to the last play, the handoff, and the running back dove, but did not quite get the end zone. So I think that that Spencer Sanders returning is big for them. I think Brendan Presley's going to have a big year at receiver, as he's the big dog now. He's the top receiver, not behind Tay Martin anymore, which is a big loss for them. Now the defense, I'm a little concerned about. Only returns five starters, but the offense is good. They returned seven. I think they'll lose three games. I think they'll lose at Oklahoma, at Kansas State, and at TCU. And at Baylor. At Baylor, at Kansas State, at Oklahoma. Now, they do have some tough games at TCU, West Virginia at home, Iowa State at home, and at Kansas may not be an easy game like many expect, and Central Michigan for the opener is not an easy opener, especially when you look at what most Power 5 teams open with.
So, heading on to number 16, I have my Pac-12 North champion here, and it is the Oregon State Beavers. Quite an interesting team that kind of resurrected itself last season, going 7-6 with quite a lot of competitive games, losing games that they shouldn't have against Washington State, California, and Colorado. And if they just win those three, you're looking at a 10-win team right there. You lost your bowl game against Utah State. There's a lot of potential here for this team, and I think that's where it's going to go. I think that this team has a 10-2 record with losses against Utah and Washington, but I think that they beat their rival in Oregon, bolting themselves up to the Pac-12 North title, and that is why I have them finishing at number 16 with a 9-3 record, also with a loss at Fresno State.
Yeah, so I have Oregon at number 16. I think they will win the Pac-12 North. I have them going 9-3. I think they'll lose to Georgia in the opener. I think they'll lose to BYU, and I think they'll lose to UCLA as well. Or excuse me, beating Georgia, losing to BYU, UCLA, and Utah, all three of those games at home. I think they'll beat Georgia. I just think that it's likely with Dan Lanning really knowing that Georgia team a lot, and I'm just not high on Georgia. I don't expect them to be like they were last year. Now, I have them higher up in my rankings because, as you know, if Georgia goes 9-3, 10-2, they're going to be a top 10 team. So I think Oregon will go finish at 16. Their quarterback is Bo Nix this year. Now, like you said, they did lose Travis Dye, the running back, and they lost a lot on that defense as well, but they still have seven returning starters. And starting linebacker Noah Sewell is back again, a middle linebacker. I think he's going to have a big year. And so, yeah, I think Oregon's going to go finish at number 16. I think Dan Lanning's going to have a good year, first year, not only at Oregon, but as a coach overall.
Heading on to number 15, we have the Kentucky Wildcats here. I think that Kentucky with Will Levis, I think that they are going to have an extremely good season. I don't think that they will win the SEC East title, but I do think that they'll come pretty close to it. I think that Kentucky really has been building something under Mark Stoops, even though I did not have him as high as some people do on my coaches' rankings. I think that Kentucky this year, with a lot of returning production, could be extremely good. So I have them with a 9-3 record with losses to Tennessee, and have them losing to Georgia. And let me see, what's the final team here? The final team I have them losing to is at Ole Miss. So who do you have as you enter into your top 15 teams?
So at number 15, I have the Arkansas Razorbacks. I think they're going to go 9-3 this year, have another solid season under Sam Pittman. Now in his second year, they went 9-3 last year, or excuse me, 8-4 last year, won their bowl game to make it 9-4. Losses come to Auburn, at Ole Miss, at Georgia, and at Alabama. So I think they're going to have another good year. I think this year that they will lose three games, and those three games that I think they will lose is at BYU, because, man, BYU is – they're really good this year. I think they'll lose to Alabama, and I think they will lose at Auburn. So I think they'll go 9-3 and have another good season. KJ Jefferson returning for them. That was big to return him. Raheem Sanders returning at running back. He was not the main running back. Traylon Smith was the starter last year. But Raheem Sanders only had 20 less yards than Traylon Smith and averaged 0.1 yards more. But the big loss is Traylon Burks at receiver, and they also lose Tyson Morris, their second leading receiver. So the receivers definitely need to prove themselves a little bit. Jaden Hazelwood, I think, is going to be really good for them this year, and I think they're going to have a good year at 9-3.
You also have Theo Weiss coming in and helping out too as well with the thing. At number 14, I have the Miami Hurricanes, and the reason why I have them ahead of Kentucky, even though I have them with the 9-3 record, and Kentucky being an SEC school, is I have them winning the Coastal Division with the 9-3 record, so I have them taking home that crown. I think Miami is a solid team. They have a lot of potential. I think that they have some good parts about them, but I'm not 100% sure whether I fully trust them completely to really blow it open with a 10 or 11 win season. So I have them losing to Texas A&M, Virginia, and at Clemson. So heading on to number 13, or number 14, who you have there?
So number 14, I have Houston. I think that they will go 10-2 this year and have a really good season. I think they're going to lose at Texas Tech. They lost last year to Texas Tech 38-21 at home. I just think Texas Tech will find a way to beat them. At Texas Tech. And I also think they'll lose at SMU. I could also see them beating Texas Tech and losing at Memphis, but I think that they will lose at Texas Tech and at SMU. I think they'll beat Memphis this year in a closer one than it was last year at 31-13. I think that game will be a little bit closer. And I think Houston's going to have some close games, but you already kind of talked about them. Clayton Tune. Was really good quarterback last year, threw for 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 picks. I think Dana Holgorsen is going to have a solid squad this year, and I think they'll finish 14th in the country at 10-2.
Heading on to number 13, like I said previously, it is the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. This is the first team in the Atlantic Division to show up in the rankings. We had the Coastal member in Miami. But Wake Forest starts off our Atlantic trio here at number 13. I think that they're good this year, but I think that they get two losses, and those two losses are the key games of the year at North Carolina State and against Clemson. So I think that they are good, and I think that they're in a good position. The problem is I think that they get a loss in a key area where they cannot take one. So I have them losing that game there. So Wake Forest, I think, is a good team. Sam Hartman could contend for maybe a Heisman, maybe get to New York, but I don't know whether they fully are able to get there. So.
Yeah, so at number 13 for me, I have the Wisconsin Badgers. I have them going 10-2 this year. I think they're going to have a really good year. I think they're going to get blown out by Ohio State twice in the regular season and in the Big Ten Championship. Sorry, my mind went blank there for a second. But I think they're going to lose two games this year. I think they're going to lose at Ohio State, and I think they're also going to lose at Iowa. Iowa is just, like you talked about earlier, winning at Iowa is basically playing the number one team in the country. It is just so hard to win at Iowa, especially when they're good. I think they're going to be solid this year.
Their offense is going to move at 1 yard a pace, though.
Yeah, the defense is going to be locked down again. The offense not going to be very good, at least explosive-wise. Now, Wisconsin had a top-five defense in the country last year. Total yards defense, they were the number one team in the country. And rushing defense, they were the number one team in the country. Fourth in scoring, fourth in passing. But I think that's going to take a bit of a hit because they only returned three starters off that defense this year. Now, the big guy they get back on offense is Braylon Allen. Ran for 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns, 7 yards a carry last year. And they also have Ches Malusi behind them, who ran for 815 yards and 5 touchdowns. So solid running back room. The biggest thing with them is, what does Graham Mertz do? If he's able to perform well and play good, then I could see Graham Mertz playing well. If he plays well, then I could see Wisconsin maybe going 11-1. The better he plays, the better they're going to do.
That is definitely true. At number 12, I have the BYU Cougars going 9-3 and maybe potentially close to a New Year's Six Bowl bid, but I doubt they get it with 3 losses on the season and having one more Group of 5 team ahead of them, so I don't believe they get it. But they have an incredibly difficult schedule, but also one that if they were able somehow to run the table, they would definitely be a playoff team. You have games at Oregon, against Arkansas, against Notre Dame, against Stanford, Liberty, East Carolina, Baylor. You have a lot of teams in which you can do that. If BYU were to win out, or if BYU were to lose one game, it is a possibility that if Notre Dame went 11-1 with their loss to BYU, and Oregon played well, and Baylor played well, and their only loss was to BYU as well, that is definitely a team and a situation in which it could be a possibility to make a playoff berth. So I think that BYU has an opportunity here entering into the 2022 season. So I have them at number 12.
At number 12 for me, I have Wake Forest. This is the first Atlantic team to pop up. Second ACC team behind in front of Miami, who was at 20. Wake Forest is going to have an extremely explosive offense. Fourth in the nation last year in scoring. I think that'll drop a little bit, but not much at all. They don't return their running back. They lose him. Christian Beale Smith transferred to South Carolina. But, I mean, he only had 131 carries. They had a lot of guys behind him get a lot of carries as well. Justice Ellison got 107 carries, and Christian Turner got 126 carries. So a lot of guys with carries behind them. I think Sam Hartman is going to have a great year. He definitely needs to drop the interceptions a little bit, down from 14 of them last year. But they return A.T. Perry, Donovan Green, and Taylor Morin, 3 receivers that are going to be outstanding for them. The headliner, A.T. Perry, of course, he was their lead receiver from a year ago, 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns. Like I said, I think they'll lose 2 games, and I think it's the same 2 games you had them losing. Clemson on September 24th at home, and at NC State on November 5th.
So, heading on to number 11, I have the Georgia Bulldogs. I think that Georgia loses 2 games this season, against Oregon and against Tennessee, and I don't think that win the SEC West. That is why I have them just outside the top 10. I think that Georgia is a good team, but they lose a lot of production. They lose a lot of starters, and they're in a tough place of development, and they still have 5'2" Stetson Bennett as their quarterback. So I'm not sure whether the mailman is going to be able to deliver this package.
Yeah, so I have Tennessee at number 11 going 10-2. I think they're going to lose at LSU and at Georgia. LSU just going to...
Whoa. You haven't beaten Bama?
Oh, Bama. That's what I meant, but I was looking at LSU right above them. Yeah.
Losing,
I was looking at Alabama. That's who I have them losing to, but LSU's the game right before, so that's just what my eyes were focused on there. Yes, losing to Alabama and at Georgia. That Alabama game is early on in the season, so I could see them potentially winning if Hendon Hooker's playing great and Alabama comes out a little slow, but I don't think they will. I think they'll come out rolling like they usually do, and I think they'll roll right through Tennessee, and I think Tennessee will lose a close one to Georgia. They lost 41-17 last year. I think it'll be a lot closer this year.
So we are going to take a quick break here before we enter into our top 10 teams, and then we will finish from there.